Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Daria.
Talking to me?
Hello and welcome to Are You Talking to Me? It's a Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon podcast. It's hosted by me, Ben Vanel, and it's co-hosted by you, Adam Knox. Adam, hello.
That's me. I'm the co. The co stands for cool operator. It's two separate words.
CEO. Absolutely. We are here for episode 9 of the first season of House of the Dragon. But first, we'll do some emails. As always, everyone listening and watching, if you're watching this through our windows, please do get in touch. You can message us on Instagram at Are You Talking to Me? And you can also email us at areyoutalkingtomepod@gmail.com. If you have a lengthy opinion or thought to share, email's the go. And Leif Hoffman, who I believe is a listener of our other podcast, because I think I've noticed that their name is Leif before. I think they're from like Scandinavia or somewhere.
There are several Leifs out there too. Look at any for example, tree. Who knew I was going to say that? Who knew I'd make the name Leif about a tree? You never would have guessed it.
That's the kind of twist that House of the Dragon is famous
That's
for.
That's the sort of shit a cool operator would do.
Leif says, Leif actually brings up a theory that I did think at the time, but it kind of didn't pan out, or there won't be any consequences. But Leif said, first off, thank you for the pod. Hey, you're most welcome. Thank you for listening. We wouldn't be doing it if we didn't have a bunch of Leifs listening. There's a theory that I wanted to bring up. Based on your pod and another House of the Dragon recap, I was kind of surprised no one did bring it up. It made me question my own morality. Like, am I that fucked up that I thought what I did? So, no, I did think this too, Leif. In the scene when Alicent talks to the maid that Aegon raped, they have some conversation, and then Alicent gives Diana, the moon tea, ... Or did she poison her? The scene works just as well, brackets, maybe better. If you work from the assumption that Alicent wanted to give Diana a false sense of security and then kill her. And even the dialogue potentially hinted at that.
I kind of thought that for a second, but don't think that's what happened. And partly because it's even more insidious to think that you wouldn't even need to kill this girl. Like, she's it would matter so little if she even went around talking about it that, like, it's not worth that.
I think the reason that I also, didn't end up thinking this strongly enough to like talk about is because we don't see any consequences.
No. And that tea's already been in the show like a couple of times by that point, right? At least once.
Yes. So,
But yeah, like I think it is grosser to me that it's like the consequences of there being like a, in Game of Thrones world, bastard child. Mm-hmm. That would be the only thing that could even matter about this girl who's nothing to them. Like,
It's gross. That's very true. It's not good. It's scrubby.
Not what a cool operator would do.
Absolutely not.
I'd offer support.
Rob from Pennsylvania emailed and said,
That's where Greyleds who've been bitten by a vampire come from.
That's pretty good. I've never heard that before.
That's fucking crazy. Because I read it off of your gravestone.
Holy shit!
You're one of them.
So Rob says, I'd like to try and maybe clear up what was perceived as a goofy contrivance due to Alicent's final conversation with Viserys. Rob's interpretation was that her intent was always to have her son Aegon take the throne, so she just used what Viserys said in his final moments to confirm her own bias and not feel guilty about that. I don't know if... And obviously Rob sent this like 4 or 5 days ago before this this latest episode. I'm not sure I agree with that. I don't know if this latest episode confirmed or maybe shed some doubt on that perspective. But hey, that's what the whole episode was about. So why don't we talk about it?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, earlier you said the first season of House of Dragon. I remember reading this week that someone, I can't remember who, but someone involved, I think it was maybe George R.R. Martin, he said that there'll be 4 seasons of this.
Oh, I like that.
That's probably the right amount for the speed at which this is moving.
Yes.
That sounds like a I don't know, man. 4 is a cool number.
4 is very cool. Yeah, and knowing ahead of time, because I think someone else maybe was emailed in or was mentioning that, or maybe on the Discord for our other podcast, that this is based on Fire and Blood, and that George R.R. Martin has said that he wants to probably write a sequel to that. It's like a story.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a history. So it is still an overarching and broad, high-level version of this story.
Yes. This is the history. This is what Michael Jackson's album was about.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the lyrics of that, it's a lot of...
Well, Game of Thrones was her story. This is his story. It's all about Aegon Targaryen. I also think that he's perhaps maybe has the ideas for the way that this story would wrap up and would be like, here you go. Here's 4 seasons worth. Don't drag it out any longer.
Yeah, yeah.
I certainly hope that's the case.
Going in with an amount that you know is achievable and it is probably good after, you know, some of the issues with the end of Game of Thrones came because they maybe had to wrap it up quicker than might have been ideal. So, yeah, 4 seems fine. But, yeah, this episode, on that thing with Alicent, because, the two things that I thought were goofiest about the last episode were there being someone named Eric and someone named Eric, and the fact that they're twins is even goofier, but sure. They've got funny parents or like unimaginative parents or parents who don't understand what twins are. Something happened at that whatever medieval thing passes for a hospital and they're both named Eric. But then the other thing is, so Alicent hearing Viserys saying the prophecy again and interpreting that as Aegon should be king. I do think it's a little bit of not necessarily deliberate twisting of words, but I can see her latching onto that to comfort herself. Like it doesn't seem like a conscious thing, similar to how she accuses Otto of like having led the charge for what she thought she wanted in her life, for having sort of implanted that stuff into her head. I think she's looking for outside motivation from men to justify her ambition in some ways.
Yeah, okay.
Because that she says that to Otto. Rhaenys kind of puts that on her as well, being like, you're trying to build yourself a window in this prison. I really like that line.
Yeah.
I think there's some element, probably subconsciously, of her. Look, if he'd have been like, get me some water, he'd have been like, water, war, okay, tear the wall down, and the wall's going to go down, which means Aegon needs to be the king. I understand.
Right. Yeah, if he'd been like, Rhaenyra is definitely the heir, she'd be like, Rhaenyra, you want me to kill Rhaenyra?
Yeah, the heir. So, yeah. Heir is nothing. Rhaenyra's nothing to you. You want Aegon to be king. I understand. I think there's...
Got it.
I think she genuinely did misunderstand him because he's talking about something that he hasn't spoken to her about, but also that she was ready to she's not upset to have this be what she quite honestly thinks to be his last words. And then certainly everyone else around her, it doesn't give a fucking shit if he actually said it or not.
Right. I think maybe that's why I had a bit of back and forth on her motivations, because She, even if she seems to be reluctant to at least, you know, take the harsh measures with what that, you know, what those words could be interpreted to mean. Because everyone else around her in this episode is like, yeah, we all always wanted this to happen. And not only have we always wanted this to happen, we're going to make it happen and we're going to probably murder all the people who might have an issue with it.
Right.
And she at least, you know, pushed back against that. But the Green Council, you mentioned off air, that's what this one was called. That is the Hightowers essentially getting together and being like, yeah, fuck all them Targaryens. We're taking over here.
Yeah, this is a proper coup. We open up with...
Wait a minute, coup? C-O?
Uh-huh, cool operator.
I don't know I'm about that.
You figured it out. That's why we call ourselves cool operators, because coup is the only thing we can see. There's a little child walking around the castle all alone at night, and somehow this kid has heard about the king's death. I don't know how he got the news, but he's going to tell Talia, who works for the White Worm, and also the queen. And the king's death that we saw at the end of last episode is starting to spread around the castle. But yeah, Talia tells the queen, but also lights some you know, like a menorah in the window of the castle to that's obviously a pre-agreed upon signal that the king is dead. So it's getting out there.
And everyone is trying to have the exact opposite of that happen, because everyone is in the first stages of whatever their own plans are. They go straight to the small council, right? And they start cooing it up.
Alicent goes and tells her dad first. Right. And tells him about the last words. And she means it. Yes. She thinks it for sure.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
I don't think that her way, like the way that we see her interpreting those words at the end of the last episode, I do still think is a bit of her like pulling what she wants to see out of some pretty vague words.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And like, obviously that's, you know, she's been angling for this to happen since she married the king, so you know, that's fair enough.
If you I think if you
maybe I just buy her acting, as in her character's acting, because she is like, yeah, bloody hell, dad, turns out this really problematic thing was said, it's gonna really cause a lot of fucking problem. Like, she seems like maybe she's just more overwhelmed at like having to put it into action, because it means like a lot of shitty stuff is gonna have to happen.
There's no part of her that doesn't want to do it either. She doesn't want to kill Rhaenyra, but she's very much like, but Rhaenyra shouldn't be queen. Like, there's no part of her that doesn't want to enact the dying words of a drug-addicted leper. So, like, you know, there's not even a second of her being like, maybe he was talking crazy, because it was he died 3 seconds later.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I've listened maybe he to thought Joe I Rogan was someone for else. Anything, it's to know that DMT gets released in your brain when you die.
That's right.
And to become slowly radicalized.
Yep.
Kristen Cole played me a bunch of episodes of Joe Rogan. And I picked it up along the way. But yeah, so she tells her dad, the candles get lit, and we're in the small council, like an early morning small council meeting. Jason Lannister comes in, still with a fucking insane name, but Jason Lannister's here, and he's like, oh, I couldn't wait till morning. Who fucking died?
Oh. Yeah. Hey, oh no. He doesn't even apologize. I was waiting for him to be like, sorry, yes, I see. I've really put my foot in my mouth there. But Otto's like, yeah, the fucking king died.
What happened? Did Dawn get invaded? Who gives a fuck? Yeah. But they kick into this thing of very quickly, like, so the news gets dropped, hey, the king is dead. His last words were that Aegon should be king. Luckily, most of us have been working on a secret plan for a while to do this, and it just so happens that he endorsed it as his last act. We don't even give a shit if that's true, but we're going to say he did.
That's right. And you have some pushback. Yeah. I mean, I guess I can't remember who. I feel like there were a couple of dudes there who I wasn't, or maybe at least one guy who I wasn't familiar with. Oh, I guess he probably replaced... Lionel Strong.
Yeah, yeah. Strong was there, yeah. And we've had the Maester die and be replaced since the start of the show. But that Maester has been there for a bit. And we've got the Master of Coin, the Treasurer guy, I think, is the guy who wasn't sure about this plan, hadn't heard of it. And we see that guy, the Captain of the Gold, the King's Guard, I forget his name. Beesbury is the old man.
Yeah, Harold.
And Harold.
Harold is... Harold Bishop is the Lord Commander of the King's Guard for now.
And so, yeah, They're looking around and Beesbury ends up saying, like, what the fuck are we talking about here? What's going on?
Yeah. Don't we respect the traditions? And, like, you're clearly, this is a treasonous plot, like, and the smartest thing for me to do is to speak up against it in this room where the doors are closed.
We're in the small council. Nothing's going to happen here. I'm 70 years old, which you'd think would be enough time to know it goes the other way around, but...
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, he starts saying it's treason, and that gets Kristen Cole's fucking...
Goat?
His absolute goat.
It gets his ire up.
It gets his Michael Jordan.
It gets his blood boiling, and the only way to solve that is to get someone else's blood leaking out onto the table.
He cracks his head on those weird pool balls they all have.
Yeah. I mean, they've been there from the start. It's like you're logging in, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, my ball's here.
It's your little avatar. Like, Kristen Cole, if he was on the small council, would have a little anime girl on his one.
Yeah. He'd have a Joker. He'd have a little green-haired ball.
It actually might be a Joker. The damaged version of the Joker, though.
Yes. Yes, yeah, of course.
And, so straight away... old Harold is sword to the throat. They're trying to get him to stop. It's all kicking off. It's all extremely tense.
Yeah.
Kristen's like, he insulted the Queen, and the Queen's like, shut the fuck up. I didn't care.
Yeah.
This is crazy of you. But it all gets very tense. But the key part is that most people are very much chatting treason, effectively.
Yeah. They've said it over and over in previous episodes, like, most normal people won't accept Rhaenyra as queen. We know that the will of the people is probably to have a king. So, yeah, they're all kind of on board with that. It doesn't make sense to stir up some kind of rebellion or, you know, like anarchy, you know, like that. Yeah, they'll just figure it out. They'll do what they do here.
Yeah, because look, she's been sitting in that chair for a long time. The writing's been on the wall. So it makes sense that they'd all be like, yeah, we knew.
Yeah.
But that's enough for Harold to resign from the Gold Cloak, saying he's loyal to the king. So since there's not a king right now, he's off.
Yeah, and we don't see him again.
No,
hopefully he gets out of the capital, or he, you know, because he's been witness to this treason. And even if he is genuine and being like, yeah, I'll come back when, you know, when there's a king, I feel like he might be in a bit of a precarious position.
Yeah. In the meantime, Alicent goes off and tells all her kids about it, but they can't find Aegon. She tells Helena, who's cross-stitching, which makes so much sense.
Yep.
And Aemon is sort
who's
of...
Who's cross? He's just cross.
Yeah.
obviously he's like, fucking... where is he? I'm here. I'm the responsible one.
Mm-hmm.
But, Aegon, what does it mean when Helena said there is a beast beneath the boards?
I assume she was talking something about the dragons or whatever. She's touched, they would say, back in the day. So I don't think it's relevant.
I think initially I was like, is that a metaphor for Aegon being like a fuckhead? You know, like,
could be.
Is it just a mysterious thing that people in this world and time say? Maybe it could be both.
I assume that they have her say it because of something along those lines, or just, you know, there's a rot in King's Landing, or it's a general fuck this from the weird girl. They're off. They're looking for Aegon. They need to find him. And this is something that I got sort of confused about with this episode, where Otto goes off to ask the Erics to find Aegon. Makes sense. He wants to know where he is, and, you know, obviously this kid's run off to do some crook shit and flea bottom.
Yep.
But then at the same time, the Queen is looking for Aegon via Kristen Cole and Aemond.
So I understand it now, but at the time I certainly was like, why are they competing?
Yeah.
And the reason is that having Aegon under Alicent's control is the only leverage she has to stop Otto from ordering the murder of Rhaenyra,
right,
and Rhaenyra's family.
Right.
That is their only difference in opinion. Like, they both want exactly the same thing, in terms of Aegon, you know, becoming king. But yeah, that was it. That was the only way that she could essentially hold back, you know, the assassins,
by just being an Aegon's ear first.
Yeah, and just being, having him, I guess, you know, like being like, well, if you don't, you know, leave the rest of them alone, I'll, you know, do something with him. I'll hide him away. I'll fuck things up.
Right. Because they've mentioned the Rhaenyra thing in the small council a little bit, but they talk about it
yes.
later on too, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, the hunt is on for Aegon.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Rhaenys would join in if it weren't for the fact that they've just locked her in a fucking room to keep her out of the equation for this episode.
Yep, and honestly, yeah, lucky for her that she just got locked in her room. I did expect maybe after the room had been locked, then later on someone would come in and just do a big stab of her.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
She doesn't really have a claim to this throne, I suppose, this time, so it makes sense that they're not too bothered by her. But
right.
They do mention later that the Valyrians are very interconnected with Rhaenyra's side of things.
Yes.
Also, like all the handmaids and stuff get locked up they're just putting the whole place into lockdown. For
yeah.
some reason, Larys is down there. He's just
yeah.
fucking wandering around down in the jail part. Has a look, fucking little creep.
I think they say at some point he's like the Lord Confessor or something.
Yeah.
I think he's like the head inquisitor or whatever.
He does seem to be like the master of torture or something like that.
I think that might be what he is, yeah.
Makes sense he'd have an office down there. But so they're off having a hunt around King's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
Eric and Aemond, who are both like uptight fucking assholes. They're just a pair.
Yes.
Just the absolute worst hang to walk around the city with them.
Yeah.
Oh, be a nightmare.
Everyone keeps closing their doors on us. This place is so boring.
Wait for the green man before we walk. And it should be a man. I never cross at the Flinders Street lights. They go and, yeah, they're looking around. Sort of upmarket haunts is their problem.
Yes.
They don't quite understand yes. how low Aegon can go.
Yeah.
Chris and Cole yep. says
He hasn't...
Sorry.
He hadn't been to the nice brothel for some years now.
No.
Is what we learned.
Kristen Cole says some fucking shit that's like, you know that thing where people like go, women are the most beautiful divine creatures in the world, that is like, you know, as though they're going like, what? I think they're better than men, but still definitely other. Like,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
doing
yeah.
all of that shit at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're you know, all having a sneak around looking for Aegon. Whilst... Mm-hmm. Up in the throne room, Otto has very quickly assembled a bunch of lords that
oh,
morning.
Oh, yes. I guess everyone, everyone in King's Landing who is complicit or potentially could be complicit in, like, not going along with things. Everyone who's sworn the oath to Rhaenyra, basically, the oath.
Yeah, so I'm guessing there's not really any Starks or whatever here. I don't know which houses and stuff most of these people are from.
No.
But he gets a few heads of houses to come in and swear fealty to Aegon. He's like, hey, mm-hmm. King changed his mind. How about that? Time to kneel again. The oath you swore to Rhaenyra was like 20 years ago, so who gives a fuck?
Mm.
Re-swear to this guy. And most of them do.
Yeah.
Two don't, and one makes, like, almost doesn't.
Yes.
They shuffle off the two who did not. They take them mm-hmm. out of the room, and then we'll see the one who kind of didn't kneel, but eventually
yeah.
did a bit later on.
Just enough to make it himself suspicious.
Just enough that I suppose we can just say the rest of his story from this episode now. He tries
yeah.
to run away, but they catch him, and then later on you see him just hanging up in that middle square thing that everyone's always walking through.
Yeah. Yeah, made a real example of.
Some real Hussein shit.
Yeah.
I'm talking Barack his name Obama, was... by the way, not Saddam.
Oh, shit. Okay, Kristen. Alan. Unfortunately, we lost Alan with a U in it. If to be honest, flies these stupid names.
Because the first stupid name, you're like, oh man, that's so uncreative. When he's come up with 700, it becomes creative again.
Yeah, yep, yep. Yeah, we've got to give him that. We've got to give him Alan with a U.
But so,
and Eric and Eric are just, you know.
Two Erics.
That's a masterpiece. Yeah.
He's come up with two. And those Erics are down in just the absolute, like, the evilest place I've ever heard of.
Mm.
It is a child fighting pit where they, like, file the kids' teeth down into fangs and grow their claws to make them into Wolverines.
Yep.
It's the weirdest thing for this many people to want to see.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen this specific version of medieval, you know, fuckery ever before. Not in Game of Thrones, not in literally any other form of fantasy media I've read.
Yeah, I reckon that's because humans would never want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's obviously some people out there who are fucking crazy.
Sure.
But there's a lot of people at this child fight.
There's heaps. It would be, it's not the kind of thing that would be like such a turn on that you'd end up having a bunch of bastards in the building.
There's like, I guess that the bastards have been sent there to be the like disused children who they make fight maybe.
I guess, I don't know, like because one of them was just sitting in the corner.
And they mention later on that like, yeah, we make them fight and worse or whatever. Mm. But there's an awful lot of people there, and they're all enormously enjoying themselves. They're having a
kid
great
fight,
time.
Kid fight.
It's not even that thing where they're watching it solemnly and reflecting on, like, damn, how'd I get like this? How'd I end up here? They're all like, hooray! It's the most insane fucking...
Yeah.
But whatever, that's what they're doing. There's kid fights. And
there's kid fights.
Yeah.
I guess we don't really get heaps of it this episode. I guess we already know it to an extent, but like, oh, maybe Aegon has no empathy.
Yeah, Aegon seems like more of a psycho than, and we've gotten increasingly psycho, because if jacking off outside of your window, come on, mate. Take three steps to the left and just do it on your own.
Come on, mate, is exactly what's going to happen if you're not careful.
And his behavior has gotten increasingly worse, of course, to the point where, now there's like one of Aegon's kids is knocking around this child fighting building.
Yeah.
The Erics get approached by someone who says she's working for the White Worm as well here.
Yes. I can, for a price, I can take you to the White Worm and they can tell you where bloody Aegon is.
Yeah. Speaking of for a price, this is where that one deserter guy has been brought in front of Otto by Solaris.
And yes.
He's like, I spend a lot of time with your daughter, but hey, I'm trying to help everybody out here, kind of.
Yeah. And if you want me to, you know, maybe guide the conversation when I'm with your daughter, that could be good for everyone.
The daughter who is currently genuinely grieving the king, and then heads on up to have a chat with Rhaenyra. And apologize. Sorry, I do mean Rhaenyse.
Because we don't get to see Rhaenyra or Daemon or any of that side of the family for this whole episode.
No, it's all King's Landing, and it's all within like a sort of 24-hour period here.
Yeah.
The opposite of a time jump.
That's right.
A time crouch. The
time crawl.
I get like a crawl or a crouch is the opposite of a jump. Surely.
Yeah.
Handstand might be, I suppose, because you're going upside down.
Dig a hole. Digging a hole and getting into it?
Yeah, trenches. You're right.
Yeah.
Digging a trench is the opposite of jumping.
I think so.
Well, Alicent is maybe digging herself a bit of a trench here by talking to Rhaenys, because she's trying to be like, look, you of all people get what's going on here. That throne should have been yours. You were denied it. But the reason is because women shouldn't be rulers. And that is part of why Alicent is doing this. And again, she seems genuine about everything she says. It's just that she herself is quite deeply mistaken about some stuff.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yep. She, maybe because she's been guided for so much of her life through this sort of stuff by her father and by Larys now, and also because I honestly think she probably is just a good person deep down. She is a little bit naive or just doesn't have the foresight, maybe.
she makes all these bad decisions because she thinks that she's doing what her father wants or what her husband wants or what's best for her kids. And like, she just has so little agency that other people's poison seeps into her to some extent, especially when, you know, you're related to a bunch of psychos.
Totally. And yeah, I think it's basically luck rather than self-preservation that has kept her around. She certainly gets lucky later in the episode.
Well, and certainly, like, self-preservation in terms of, like, she's smart and she's making good moves to do these things that are like, I think she thinks she's, like, nobly making sacrifices and doing things that are wrong for overall good, but probably not, Allison. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, she has a chat with Rhaenys here about, like, you don't need to side with Rhaenyra. Come and hang out with us. Everything will be golden. It'll be great. My husband would have loved to have been just like a country lord, but he didn't get to do that. He made a sacrifice. We're all doing it. Hang out.
Right.
Just please chill and don't make this bigger. And it doesn't seem to convince Rhaenys too much.
No. But yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. We'll talk about it with hoods on in the middle of a market.
Yeah.
I want to be stealthy, but also in public.
I want to be huddled over as if to be like, I'm a famous person trying not to get noticed.
Yeah, right, exactly. Otto Hightower's out here in a baseball cap and sunglasses, but at one of LA's fanciest restaurants. And he gets spotted by Damon and by Kristen Cole talking to the White Worm, whose name is Miss Sandra, something like that.
Let's see if Millicent. It says in this recap.
Meredith.
Molly. Mingo.
I think it's Mingo.
I think it's Mingo, yeah. Mysaria.
Mysaria. And the bargaining chip that she has is she has basically taken Aegon, hidden him somewhere, and is like, if you want him, you got to come through me. My price is, A, a bunch of money, but also B, fucking come here and stop taking bribes for the child sex slave trade that is happening in King's Landing.
Yes.
Delete that from King's Landing, please. And you know what?
No more kid fights, no more kid sex.
Great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
She seems to, and you know, she comes from here. She's probably seen it all. She is, you know, using her power to try and actually make a difference to everyday people. So good for her. I don't agree with her throwing tomato soup on that Van Gogh, but other than that. That's her price, which Otto says when hearing about, like, hey, all of your guys are taking bribes for doing the most awful shit. He's like, no, I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Maybe commit a little harder, Otto.
When you've looked into it, will you also agree to do the thing that I said? Yeah. Because it's true. It's definitely happening. So, you know. But yeah, you're right. I like that she had used that leverage that she had to do something good and also get some money out of it. That's politics, baby.
I think she puts herself in a little bit of trouble when she says, and when he's up on the throne, remember who put him there because I could have killed him.
Yes.
And that maybe was just a slight overreach that seemed to make Otto... He said he'd remember, but he said it real, real creepy.
Yeah. If I was her, I would have been like, you remember in the sense that you're going to, you know, like, give me some credit for it. Yeah. Not in the sense that you're going to view me as a loose end that needs tying up.
Let's just be really clear here.
Yeah. I don't know.
But so she tells him that Eric's where Aegon is, and he has been hidden underneath a table in a church where he's vomiting wildly, it sounds like.
Yeah, where he's like thumping and bumping around, being like, get me out of here!
I think I got the impression he was just like hungover in there, same as Damon was, I guess, when she went and like kidnapped him.
Yeah, that's true.
But they find him, and Kristen Cole and Aemond have followed them. And a sword fight that they unfortunately didn't have much time to film takes place outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Little confrontation. This is where, yeah, like you, I was like, wait, what? Aren't they on the same side? Why are they actually having a confrontation here?
Yeah. Aemond has his own sort of thing going on where he's mentioned to Kristen before this, like, I'm the one who read all the books. I know how to be king. He shouldn't do it. He doesn't even want to. Fuck him. He's a piece of shit.
Yes.
And there's sort of a moment when he grabs Aegon where you can see that he's considering, like, should we just fucking wrap this up here? Like,
right. Well, because Aegon himself doesn't want to be king. He says that's why he's... I mean, it's not why he's doing this stuff, but it is a symptom of the attitude that is, you know, informing the fact that he doesn't want to be king.
Totally.
He just wants to fuck around. And he says,
I'll get
it here.
In the boat right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I literally don't want to be king.
Yeah. But that is before he's tasted the power of the crown.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, Aemond and Cole end up with Aegon and the Erics lose this real dumb looking fight.
Yeah.
They have some like those real like cutaway just before the swords would hit each other shots.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
a
very long shot of two people running down some stairs on opposite sides like a fucking Naked Gun movie. It really made me laugh.
And then Eric number two just standing off on like a balcony, refusing to get involved and then walking away.
What's his problem?
Dunno. Dunno.
Dunno either. But it's because it's when you've got a problem with someone, it's best to air those grievances, which is exactly what Alicent goes and does with Otto here. It's been a tough, stressful day. He's, you know, making King's Death Raven messages, it looks like.
Yep.
And she comes in and is like, this all fucking sucks. You're still being this like chess player. I don't think this is a game. I'm trying to do real shit for real people, and you're still viewing me as a pawn. And he's like, well, you're a pawn that I turned into a queen, right?
Got you all the way across the board, little lady.
Doesn't
bit of gratitude wouldn't go astray.
Don't think that would make her feel better, Otto. But they
I manipulated you so much that it changed who you are.
And that's what he's like, well, what do you want? She's like, I fucking don't even know. I don't have the muscles trained to be able to figure that out, which I can understand. But also, they have an argument about Rhaenyra and whether or not it's necessary to kill her. Otto views it as like, well, you basically, you got to crack eggs to make an omelet. You got to make sacrifices. I don't want to do it, but, you know, it's got to happen.
Right.
And Alicent is saying, I don't think that it's a weakness of mine to not want to murder somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Viserys would not have wanted Rhaenyra to be murdered.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't want her to be heir at the last second, that doesn't at all mean that he wanted her to be executed.
And Otto's like, this is just because she was your close childhood friend. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah. It can be both.
What, so?
Like, that's not bad.
They have an intense conversation, which, doesn't... I liked it very much. I really like... Alison is great. Both actors who've played her are very good, and I think the fact that there's so much gray about why she's doing what she's doing, but it doesn't come across as like unbelievable or like messy or anything negative most of the time. It's just a very well done character.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I wish that I could just sit her down and be like, what do you want? What do you actually want to do here? You know, but it's not because, it's because people can be confusing.
Right,
not because
exactly.
It's, you know, it's poorly written or anything,
Which is what makes the scenes with her interacting with Solaris so strange, because he is basically the opposite.
I reckon maybe the most uncomfortable I've felt watching... It's certainly this show.
Oh,
definitely.
Man, I was like, is she going to get her feet out or not? I felt uncomfortable too. So yeah, she sits with Solaris and he's got some information about... what's his information even about here? Because...
It's about how Otto find out about the hiding place, the fact that Otto knows about the White Worm, the spies and shit like that and didn't share it with
people
her.
Have been spying on you and Otto's let it happen. And so Tarantino's price here is to get a look at her feet. Socks first. That's half payment. And then the rest of the payment is the feet out. And he tells her the information. She kind of turns away and puts her feet on a thing, and he slimily reaches his hand into his whatever those clothes they wear are called. And it is one of the most uncomfortable scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real.
Just, like, it's a great character choice for to be like, yeah, he's into feet. Because it really, it just worked as a scene. It was obviously meant to be incredibly uncomfortable. It worked.
Yeah.
It's really well done. It's also, like, the thing of, like, he's not a, he's not literally a strong person. He's not a, you know, a threatening person physically. So let's also give him, you know, a fetish or a kink that is more about, clearly for him, more about exerting power.
Right. Especially when I think his position in his family would have been low because of him, his feet having whatever disability he has.
Yep.
So it's a good choice. Just, I've never gotten the thing with feet. I don't know what it is.
No.
I wish I could understand because people who love it seem to love it. But you know what? I don't wish that about everything, so never mind. I don't want to get inside the head of everyone who has something that I don't, or I'll end up at a child fight and be like, bite him with your fangs we made.
That's right. A child fight at the best. But yes, we get that scene. It's very uncomfortable. We, I guess, learn, or it's, sorry, it's like, it's more underlined than ever that the queen is at the mercy in some ways of the men around her.
Yeah, where she is, you know, gritting her teeth to get the benefit out of these situations she is being put in by these men. So, you know, she again is making, I think, what she would view as these sacrifices, you know, to end up there. And it's also the first time we've seen that, like, what seemed like a strange friendship between Alicent and Loras be like, oh yeah, okay, so they're not pals.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Rhaenyra isn't in the episode. Rhaenys.
Just to remind everyone.
Rhaenys gets smuggled out now of King's Landing, which is when we see the hanging body of that dissenter. And the burning, I guess, like, the brothel or something is what's meant to have been burning, maybe. I'm not quite sure what building.
Oh, I guess so.
I assume it is. It was probably the Aegon, where Aegon's kid was, and they tried to kill that kid.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Having a bunch of bastards in King's Landing is not uncommon, too. Robert had a bunch. There's a lot of stuff around that in Game of Thrones. You know, that seems to be what hedonist kings do.
Yep.
Hedonist, a very nice word for a very nasty man. But they try to smuggle, or like, is it one of the Erics tries to smuggle Rhaenys out?
I think so.
And just absolutely flubs it.
Yeah, just like basic, yeah. I mean, it's like hard to, like, you walk into a, you know, a five-way, you know, intersection.
Yeah.
And immediately all five of the paths out are filled with the rabble being shepherded along.
Everyone's but being, I guess, forced to go and see this coronation.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, she's swept away in the tide. Arik is totally ineffectual. You're right. He's like, see you then, I guess.
I know.
Just go towards the beach.
Just the way it was filmed as well. There's a couple of spots where there's, you know, space for a barrel to be there. And it's like, just go where the barrel is and wait for the people to move part. Like,
yeah,
I guess, as with every movie, I reckon I would have survived.
Yeah. It's not totally unbelievable, though. Especially because those guys had been a bit, you know, a bit kind of pushed over already by some other people.
Well, and this big throng of people, the crowd crushes are real. And like, they're getting really shepherded towards this scene to try and make it seem important because Aegon and his mother are in a carriage on the way to this coronation thing. And he's kind of like, I don't reckon that Dad said he wanted me to be king because that guy hated me.
Yeah. Why did he wait 20 years when he could have said it at any point?
Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense at all. And his mother's like, hey, look, he did. and you're the rightful king, and listen, here's a knife. Please be good. Yep. Please be a decent king.
Yes.
We all want you to do this. And again, he doesn't really buy it from her either. He's like, do you love me?
Yeah.
Her response to which is to call him an imbecile.
Yes. Yes, yes.
But also with a smile, which is very much a like, yes, in the way that a mother loves a terrible son.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
She is obligated to him and will never not do anything that he needs, but also absolutely fucking hates it.
That's right, because she's a mum. She's a classic mum.
That's a classic sitcom mother.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so many people are going to this coronation and none of them seem to want to go. And
yeah,
it's kind of cool, I thought, like having this way of demonstrating like this doesn't matter to anybody.
Yeah, yes, totally. Very true.
And it made it feel so separate, like all the bullshit that they've been doing and like the small petty little stuff that they've got and the very insular world that they're living in, seeing all of these people with baskets who are clearly in the middle of shit getting flooded up there to this thing that's nothing to do with them as though they care.
Yeah.
It worked for whatever reason.
Why do they have a bloody public holiday just for the bloody queen dying? I've got the bloody cafe. I'm bleeding money here.
I'm bleeding money out of my my bad business.
I underpay my staff already. What the fuck am I supposed to do now?
No one wants to come to my Rotten Tomato shop. I got a big basket of Rotten Tomatoes. I'm yelling. I got to hide this fire juggler. Well, there's 100,000 of them in here for some reason.
They're 100% rotten. I thought that was meant to be good.
They're rotten. You can't get a good bite out of any of them. I thought that's what people wanted. But instead what they want is big holes with the worst trumpet players you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because hey,
God, the acoustics in there are all right, though. For bloody Otto can be heard from the back, I were to assume.
Otto's got a heck of a yell on him here, yeah.
Yeah, he must.
He's announcing, hey, the king's dead, what a sad day, but also a joyful day because here's the new king. We're going to parade him out here with, these like those vuvuzelas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a sort of ceremonial sword parade thing.
Yes.
And Aegon comes out. He looks bewildered. He looks out of his depth. He looks a little unwilling, and as time goes on throughout this ceremony, he looks more and more into it, baby.
Yep. Someone with mental issues getting on stage and getting a round of applause and thinking, wait a minute, maybe I am the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want, unlike I already was.
But yes, you're right. He totally He is bewitched by the response.
Yeah, and you see a jealous-looking Aemon. Everyone ends up bowing, but everybody looks pretty down about this for the most part. Alicent looks like, okay, I think we're safe and a little relieved from that. Otto looks a bit proud of himself.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Kristen Cole looks, you know, just fucking blank like always.
Yeah.
But
I hate him. I hate him so much.
He's
most hated character. I can't wait for him to die a horrible, violent death on this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what I want to happen to him, but I hope it's ironic in some way.
Mm.
He's one of those people who he like deserves to be... Like if it was an 80s action movie, it'd be like at a vagina museum and a giant vagina would fall on him and kill him.
Yep. Yeah,
because he'd try to run away from it, and he'd be like, "This place is a safe place to stand where nothing is, but it'd be the clitoris," and he'd be like, "No, that's where it is," and everyone would be like, "Yeah, dude,
yeah,
whoever wrote this movie's sick."
Well, we can only pray that that is exactly how he dies in House of the Dragon.
Well, yeah. So here's here's Aegon getting cheered by this pretend crowd.
Yeah.
Who are just doing what it takes to get out of there. I think they seem like, oh, good news that there won't be a woman on the throne. We're all
right.
Happy about
I think
that.
That's yeah, I do. I think that's literally why they're applauding probably. Yeah.
But he takes it very to heart and really looks like he's into it. Nothing could spoil this day. Wait a minute. What's that? The flap of wings? That must be a bird escaping the path of this dragon that's coming towards us.
Oh, shit.
Big dragon smashed through ceiling.
The bird may have escaped its path, but all of the bystanders certainly did not.
Nah, there's a ton of them getting whacked by the tail mostly.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, they got caught in the initial fucking collapse in of the, you know, the ground or what. And yeah, lots of people getting dragoned it up. And I was like, fuck yeah. Everyone's going to get burnt alive. We're going to have a real big, you know, end of season twist.
So here's the second bit I didn't understand of this episode. It's Rhaenys sitting on the dragon. She's yep. snuck off while this is on. She mentioned earlier to whichever Eric, what about my dragon I should get? And he's like, there's no time. We got to leave without your dragon. We'll be much safer without a huge dragon.
That's right.
But she sneaks off during the ceremony and goes and gets a dragon, flies it through here. She's sitting atop the thing wearing fucking cool armor.
Yeah, yeah. She's ready for a fight.
And intimidates everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Kills none of the main players here.
Yeah.
Stops short of a Jakaris for whatever reason.
Yeah. I don't know why she went and got the dragon if it was not to use here.
Because it seems like she's like, hey, motherfucker, remember me? I got a dragon. Get ready for war. Guess what? You could end the war right now.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And if it is just like, look, you don't get to tell me what to do. You locked me up in my bedroom, but I've got my dragon and I'm going to go off to wherever I want. And hey, if you want to buy my services or convince me that I'm on your side, come and fucking find me. It's like,
yeah.
Well, did you? But like, you could have just like, I don't know. It's obviously better to have a dragon than to not and to be in control of where you are. But yeah, I don't know. If you were going to eventually side with the people on that stage, then you didn't need to do this.
No,
and if
and
you
it
weren't,
seems like doing
you could have burnt them alive.
It seems like doing this would make them like you less.
Yes.
Because Otto's yelling to keep the doors open and the dragon flies out through the doors. Rhaenyra gives Alicent like a look that does kind of say what you were saying of like, fucking lock me up, huh?
But right, right.
This is obviously something that will, I would imagine, get expanded upon in the last episode of the season next week. But
yep.
I'm not quite sure why she did this big thing and then didn't go bigger.
Right.
Or go homer.
I guess she went home.
Yeah.
She was given the option to go big or go home, and she probably went home. But yeah, I can only think that she wants to position herself as the swing vote. Which means, or you know, this you know, a swinging vote, which means, hey, probably being locked in King's Landing doesn't give you the flexibility to do that. But also, like you've known these people for a long time, do you don't know who you want to side with at this point?
And it's hard to make the case for yourself as a swing vote at a coronation.
Yeah,
after the crown has been put on the head, you know, like you're interrupting the now king. Like,
yes,
I don't know. The horse seems to have made its mind up already. So I'm not sure what her sort of point is with this, to be honest. But it does
make
the point of like, hey, I'm a big deal. Don't treat me like nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also,
and I'm not under your control. I'm independent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just do think, she'd already know which way she's leaning. Mm. Like, it's been decades. This has been, you know, a power struggle. Either burn them alive or be their friends. That's my thought.
Yeah, but I guess if she's like, look, you keep your ship, but I'm a big deal. That makes the most sense. I also do love about this. The dragon flies in, and everyone's, you know, standing there looking shocked, and Aemond is in like a fighting pose as though he's going to punch this dragon, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he believes that he could. He's a very confident young man, this Aemond.
He's certainly confident. So yeah, it's an interesting sort of play at the end there, and I did think the same thing, that maybe a couple people were getting burned here, but off she flies, and that's the end of the episode. Slightly confusing power play.
Yeah, but I mean, yes. I guess it does leave her in a more powerful position than she was, and she also hasn't murdered any members of the royal family. So
I suppose the last thing that Alicent was saying to Rhaenys as well was like, hey, the crown, the throne should have been yours. And she's always kind of poo-pooed that when her husband has said it, been like, hey, I'm over it. Maybe she's no longer over it. Maybe, you know, like, maybe that's part of it too, is that you could make...
She's witnessed another coup, basically, and is like, well, if shit's up in the air again, to an extent, like, surely, like, we know that this is not going to go down well with Rhaenyra and Daemon. You know, things are probably going to be back into contention, regardless of the fact that, yeah, like, Aegon has been... what's the word? Crowned, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
maybe she's thinking like, hey, maybe I'll go find some people and make an army of my own or something. We don't know. That it could be something like that.
Yeah. Well, whatever's going to happen, we'll see it in a week.
That's right. Yeah, and then it'll be fucking, what, a year probably?
At least, right? Because a lot of those Game of Thrones ones were like a year and a half between, but probably just a year for this one.
Surely, yeah, I reckon, like, because this has done quite well, it seems like they want to keep that momentum going. Good ass episode. I'm very excited to see the response, basically. Yeah, like we were saying before, we see one side of this, essentially, for this whole episode.
Right.
Next week, we'll see how Daemon's going to respond. Very measured, I'm sure. Very measured.
There could be a bit of his, like, oh, well, fuck it, I'm out then, you know? I could imagine a little bit of his... you know, descending slide whistle personality.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Well, the people who make the show do, and
the
we will too.
Read the book.
Oh, yeah. don't say anything.
Don't tell us.
But let us know your spoiler-free thoughts on this episode we saw. Get your predictions in maybe for next week. And if you're one of the people who manages to time their email so that it arrives just after we've finished watching the next episode, wow, that'd be really impressive. And maybe we'll get to read a response to the finale.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you send it at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Excited for next week. We'll see you all then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.